4 o'clock on a Thursday, and you're listening to Live 95 WRJMLP, Coleman's independent radio station. And 4 o'clock means it's time for Sports Talk Live. That's our sports program that we do twice a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's brought to you in part by our friends at People's Bank. And as each and every week, I always invite you, if you would like to be part of Sports Talk Live, sponsors, help us out, give us a handout, whatever, let us know. Give us a call at 256-737-9505. Email us at studio@live95coleman.com or find us on Facebook, and we will find a way to make you part of Sports Talk Live. Here's your host for Sports Talk Live. Got a guest in today. It's Jason Spiegel and Bruce Parker.
You got it, Jay. Thanks, Jay. Welcome, everyone, and a special welcome to Bruce filling in. Man, can't thank you enough for being here.
Oh, thank you, Jason, for asking me to come. I enjoy it and appreciate what y'all do. It's a great program, and I appreciate the invitation.
Well, man, you know, some people have to work. Ronnie Barnes, off golfing, vacation. I hope you're listening, Ronnie, because you are a sorry dog. he is down at the beach enjoying himself. Of course, it's time well deserved, I guess. A lot of years pushing the old pencil and grindstone.
Right. So. Yeah, so enjoy yourself, Ronnie.
That's it. And I hope you shoot about 170 or something like that. So.
Bruce, I can't complain. I know what that's like a couple of weeks ago. It's been a couple of days down there.
I can complain because I haven't
been
in
so long,
I hadn't been either. I try to go and play.
Hey, Jason, if I need to come in there with pictures, I can show you, like on my phone. You know what it looks like?
I think I still actually got sand in my truck from the last trip.
Yeah, I try to go play golf with Paige and Drew, my daughter and son-in-law now, and I tell you what, I'm just I can't compete. There ain't no way.
Yeah. So. Bruce, what is it like now having a son-in-law? You had time now to kind of get adjusted to it?
It's been an adjustment for sure, but it's great. I'm proud for them, and I tell you, I couldn't ask for a better one. And I tell you, he's good. He's a great guy, and just appreciate him.
Yeah, you could have wound up with somebody with no teeth, you know, and it could have been a whole lot worse. Done well to get a good son-in-law.
Yeah, we're truly blessed, Jason, right. to have Drew, and he's got a great family, and just
but Drew got a great catch too. I have to say that.
Well, we appreciate that too, Jason. Yeah, we think a lot of her, and of course, but we couldn't ask for a better guy, you know, to marry our daughter. So we appreciate him.
And while we're talking about your children, let's say again, congratulations to Heath. For those of you who may know, may not know, Heath Parker, Bruce's son, actually won the Where's Moolah $50 prize by guessing Moolah was hidden at the Cold Springs Ag Department.
He was just grinning from ear to ear, telling everybody that he come in contact with, and we appreciate y'all and People's Bank for sponsoring that, and he was tickled. I tried to get him to loan it to me a little bit, you know, but no, he wouldn't do any of that.
He knows better than that. He knows better than that.
Yeah.
Bruce, local scene, I guess firing up tonight because of the weather, so.
Right, yeah, there's a lot of games going on tonight because I think tomorrow's supposed to be rainy, sort of stormy weather. I guess, as you can tell today, sort of hot and humid out today, so it usually means probably this time of year some stormy weather moving in. But, yeah, there's local games. You know, Cold Springs is traveling to Sullivan tonight, and Coleman's going to Clay Chalkful, and Addison will be going to Red Bay, and West Point will be going to Alexandria.
Not a easy task for any of them, but Coleman playing Clay Chalkful. Clay Chalkful, the undefeated this year, defending state champions. And
right.
I've actually saw them on television a couple of times.
I did too. I saw them, I guess, I don't know, a couple of weeks or so ago when they played Gardendale, I believe it was, on Friday right. Night Lights or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
And watched them, and Lord, they've got a great ball team. They're going to be hard to beat.
Cold Springs at Sullivan, as you said, Cold Springs 6-4, Sullivan 7-3, West Point 6-4, Alexandria 8-1, Clay Chalkful, as we said, undefeated. Addison 5-5, Red Bay 10-0. Bruce, out of these teams, I know the easy thing is to say, well, all of them's got a chance, and they do all have a chance.
Right.
But which team do you think has the best chance to advance tonight?
I think Cold Springs has a great opportunity to advance tonight. From there and teach down there and talking to Coach Elliott and Coach McKinnon and some of those guys that work with the football team, they feel good about it. If they go in and play a clean game, they feel like they can come away winners tonight. So hopefully they'll go down there and Sulligent was in their region a couple of years ago and they beat Sulligent, and so they're, I guess, a little familiar with each other, but I think Cold Springs has got a good chance of going down there and winning. I tell you, the other teams, I don't know, it's going to be tough, but like I said, they got a chance, so they wouldn't play it.
Right.
And I know West Point, I know they've played some great football this year. I've actually went and watched West Point and Columbia play this season, and I tell you, West Point, they got that running back that I believe is Kobe Smith, believe is his name, and I tell you, he's a hoss.
I think he is around 150, 160 yards away from breaking the rushing record in the county.
West Point, they sort of snuck in, I guess, I think it was J.O. Johnson maybe played some ineligible players or something and got kicked out.
It don't matter how
so,
you get there, just get there, buddy.
That's right. That's what Coach Elliott said. They seemed like they was, with the upset loss last week against Holly Pond, but Coach Elliott said, well, this is what we're playing for all year long, to advance to the playoffs, and this is what their season starts over tonight. So they're all 0-0, I guess, starting tonight. So
that's it. And then at the end of the show, as we always do each week, we'll pick winners, not only high school games, we'll pick the SEC games. And I don't know if you've heard Ronnie and I on Thursday, but we always give people a warning. Tell them to pull over off the side of the interstate. We don't want to block the interstate, and we start giving these picks out. So. Bruce, the worst chance of getting a win tonight?
Oh, I tell you what. I tell you, Coleman, I've saw Coleman play, over the last few years, and Coach Britton and that staff up there do a great job. And I tell you, but going to Clay Chalkful, the defending state champion, and 10-0 this year, I tell you, that's going to be a tough road right there. So, but I know Coleman will have a game plan and go in and those boys will do their best and play their hardest for them. And you never know, but I tell you, that's going to be a tough matchup right there.
All right. While we're in the high school football, before we move on to something else that I saw on the internet today that really surprised me, we'll talk about that in a second. I want to name, since we were out Tuesday, the People's Bank Sports Talk Live Player of the Week for this past week. And we have a rule, Bruce. We don't give Player of the Week to any team or any player that's on a team that loses. Mm-hmm. You have to win for your player to be eligible.
Right.
And Holly Pond got a win, as you said, over Cold Springs. So the Player of the Week this week is Caleb Jones of Holly Pond. 7 catches, 203 yards, 82 rushing yards. Now, here's the eye-opener, 5 touchdowns.
5 touchdowns. He played one heck of a ball game. I went to the game, and I tell you, Caleb Jones played a great game, as all of those guys from Holly Pond. The quarterback, the Lambert kid, I tell you, he's a good quarterback, and they all played well. But Caleb, he's well-deserving of that award.
5 touchdowns, 49 points, and he accounted for 5 of those touchdowns.
Yeah, right. So,
Holly Pond's first win in 30 games.
Wow, yeah. So
That's a long dry spell.
It is. It's a long dry spell, but I know they were tickled to death for the win, and that sort of got the monkey off the back, I guess, a little bit, so they can go in, next season and, with some motivation, that they can win. And so it was a good win for them.
The number 256-737-9505. You've got about 10 minutes if you got something on your mind you're wanting to talk about. And then, you've got about 20 minutes. We're going to be a little bit later today with our callers and have a little reverse order. But we'll have, as always, Dan Vosta will be joining us. He'll be swapping time spots, be here at 4:30 or be on the phone at 4:30. Chris Andrews from out in Reno, Nevada will join us around 5. And then at 5:30, our local fishing pro expert. He don't like to be called pro, but Rex Chambers will be joining us. Talk about putting a few bass in the boats.
Oh yeah, yeah. I haven't been fishing in a long time, but when I go, I don't have very much luck. So.
Yeah, I moved to the lake, as I've said 100 times, and quit fishing. So. I want to ask you something, Bruce. Something I saw, and people, I may be living in a cave or under a rock, but when did we start high school bowling? I saw an article, high school bowling.
Yeah, I think it started this year. I think it's actually, you know, Alabama High School Athletic Association, you know, sport now. I noticed.
So are we going to have bowling scholarships?
It may be.
I mean, I know they already have bowling teams, right. So now are we going to have?
Yeah, I guess that's a possibility, you know, to have a bowling scholarship. So I guess it gives kids, another opportunity to participate, oh, yeah. You know. And I think
it's great. Anything that kids can be an active part in keeps them less hours to get in trouble.
Right. So. I think the local teams that have a bowling or local schools here in Cullman that have a bowling team, I think, are St. Bernard and Cullman and West Point. And I'm sure the other schools will probably, join in probably next year or so, I guess.
To me, that looks like an easy sport, to get together.
Right, yeah. I saw the same article, I guess, you saw. Yeah. And, I think St. Bernard and Cullman, and I think there were some other schools maybe out of the Huntsville area that came down to Cullman Bowling Center and participated. I don't really know what the format is. I tried to read it but I don't know how they actually go about doing that, but how many are on a team.
The best of or?
Yeah. I don't know, but according to, the article, I think Coach Regina Willoughby, Tim Willoughby's wife, is teacher at St. Bernard, and I think she's the bowling coach, so they sound to me like they had a great time. It was just a great all around event.
I'll bet they don't serve beer at these high school bowling matches.
No, they probably don't.
if they do, we may have problems.
Yeah, yeah.
Real quick, and we'll get into this a lot deeper when we talk to Dan, especially Dan and Chris. I want to get your opinion, Bruce. The first college football playoff poll is out, and
right.
To many people's surprise, including myself, Alabama comes in at number 4, ranked ahead of 5 or 6 undefeated teams.
Right, yeah, I don't know what the thinking there was, because I know it seemed like TCU and Baylor always sort of get left out a little bit, undefeated and which I know, which the big game, I guess we'll talk more about that as we go. But, the big game LSU-Alabama, they're going to knock one of them out. I feel like whoever the loser is of that game will probably not see the top 4.
Yeah, how is that fair if you're LSU and you're sitting, say, at number 3, Alabama beats you. You've got one loss. Alabama's got one loss, and then you're probably out of the playoffs.
Right. Yeah. And I think, Alabama, even getting beat by Ole Miss, even if,
lost to Memphis.
Right. If Ole Miss runs the table, they're going to be in the SEC championship game. And so I guess they're keeping the door open there for Alabama or maybe LSU, to be in the playoff, So I know Ole Miss, I think, is down to number 18, I believe, if I saw that correctly, that first playoff poll.
In your opinion, and we've discussed this, Ronnie and I differ on it a little bit, but in your opinion, if Ole Miss runs the table, wins out, wins the SEC championship, Alabama wins out, which of the two make the playoffs? Both of them? Neither of them? One of them?
Oh, me, that's a tough one. I tell you what,
in the playoffs that don't even win their division?
Right, yeah, that's a tough call. That's going to be something for the committee. I don't know. It is exactly right. So I guess I don't know. I guess the big game this weekend, which last year, when that first poll came out, I think it was Florida State. And it was Florida State, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Auburn in the top 4, but the only Florida State was the one that finally made it, So, and Ohio State last year was number 16 in the, first poll that came out, but then, you know, you see what they did. So I don't know. I tell you, that's a tough one. I don't know about that one.
Looking at them 1 to 10, we won't go over all of them, but just – and even Alabama fans, Bruce, are admitting that, hey, I'm shocked by this. I don't understand it. But Clemson, number one, you agree with that?
I tell you, I guess I agree with that. But I tell you, they got a tough ball game this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
they're
you know,
a 12 point favorite.
They're a 12-point favorite over Florida State.
So I got me a little Florida State action going this weekend.
Oh, I tell you what, they got a, that's a tough one right there. I mean, they put the pressure on Clemson, no doubt.
LSU at number 2, 7-0. Ohio State at number 3, 8-0. Alabama. Now, what is out of place here? Again, Clemson 8-0, LSU 7-0, Ohio State 8-0, Alabama 7-1.
7-1, yeah. And then you got, like you said, several teams down
right.
That's undefeated that, you know.
And here's your another one, Notre Dame. Don't tell me they don't do this by brand name.
Mm-hmm.
The two biggest names in college football.
Right.
Alabama at 4, Notre Dame at 5, 7-1.
Right. Now, I don't understand that. You know, I know – I guess the season for them starts now, you know, or start, you know, this month. It's going to be a tough month in November.
Yeah. The music's playing means it's time for a break. 737-9505. You'll have about 15 minutes to give us a call, and then we're going to get into our Thursday routine. Stay with us. Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career, how to get your music published and licensed, and the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio. Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Uh-huh. 4:18 and Thursday afternoon, sun shining. And speaking of sunshine, somebody is interested in the Sunshine State. We have Jeffrey Sullins on the line with us. Jeffrey, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Well, hello, fellas.
How are you, man?
How you
doing?
I'm doing
great.
Jeffrey, do you know my co-host here today, Bruce Parker?
I don't know him, but I mean, you know, he's not filling in for a lot. He's got to fill in for
nothing. I'm telling you, boy. Hey, Bruce was best friend of mine since, Lord, probably first, second grade. Best man in my wedding and has kept me straight a lot of nights. So I'm in good hands here with Bruce.
Best man at your wedding, so he's the one to blame for not getting you out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I can't say that now. My wife's listening. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it goes both ways here. Same here. He was the best man in my wedding also. So
so you can blame him too.
Yeah.
I got it.
Jeffrey.
Y'all reach over and slap each other every now and
yeah.
then.
Yeah. Hey, right off the top, give me your opinion of the poll. Not the college football.
I don't really have an opinion about it because, do I agree with who's number one? No, because I can't stand Clemson. Do I agree with who's second, third, or fourth, fifth, sixth? No, not really.
Tell me how Alabama comes in at 7-1. Notre Dame comes in at 7-1 ahead of Baylor, Michigan State, and TCU.
Well, that just goes to show you with Baylor and TCU that scheduling is very important. They don't put a lot of stock into their schedule. I was actually surprised at Alabama. Notre Dame, I kind of agree with. The only person they lost to is the one that's number one in the poll. They lost by 2 points and had 4 turnovers playing in a monsoon. But I don't think this poll will come out to about 10. It's weak anyway.
Right.
But, I mean, they set it up to have people argue about it. They got everybody talking about it.
Yeah, that's all they would need.
And two of the teams are going to play this weekend. The other ones we play has a big game coming up this weekend. So all they did is they come out with these top four to get everybody talking about it, driving, complaining, which is what's been going on. And so they've got it top of the water cooler charts right now.
Right. Hey, Jeffrey, give me your opinion. Yeah, they need people talking about it, and that definitely got people talking about it. Even Alabama fans are surprised, and so that's what counts, I guess. Give me your opinion. Who wins the game, Alabama or LSU?
You lost him. He's gone.
Okay.
Maybe Jeffrey, he'll come back in a minute.
Now give us a call back, Jeffrey, because I got two games I need to get your opinion on. I'd like to know the Alabama LSU, what you think, and then, of course, your Florida State Seminoles.
I was going to say, if you work for one of those big four cell companies out there and you listen to this show, you can identify where the bad holes are in this county.
Yeah. And I tell you what, if around where I live, if you don't drop a call, people call me on my cell phone, there, it's impossible to have a conversation inside my house.
Yeah.
Jeffrey, you back with us?
He's back.
Oh, yeah, I'm back.
Okay, give me your opinion.
I'm
Alabama.
I'm on
cell phone,
so I have to do
anything,
make a phone call.
Oh, yeah, Alabama, LSU, and then Florida State, Clemson.
Yeah. So,
who do you think wins? Come on now, don't leave me out on a limb.
Let me see. I have a feeling that Alabama's going to beat LSU, and I have a feeling Clemson's going to beat Florida State.
All right, now give me the point spread. That's what's important.
I don't think Clemson covers.
I don't either.
Alabama 8, is that what it was?
I think it's about 7. Yeah, 6.5, 7.
I think it's a closer ball game than that. I don't think they scored 30 points combined.
I don't doubt that. I don't know what the over-under is, but I bet it's going to be higher than what they score. So.
You might have a 17-14 game. I know that's over 30, but I mean, you might have. I think they're under. I don't think they cover. I think it's a bit closer game than that.
Yeah.
I think Clemson and Florida State's gonna be closer. It depends on one, how healthy Dalvin Cook is and who they decide to play at quarterback.
You think Fournette can run the ball on Alabama?
No. I don't think he can.
I don't either.
I've told you from day one that I didn't think he's the best running back in the country.
All right.
I don't know if Derrick Henry can run the ball on LSU.
Yeah,
either.
That's true.
I mean, you know, I don't, LSU's defense is pretty tough.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to keep giving it to them all night. I think both of them are going to have 15 to 20 carries just in case they was to break that one, because I believe if you make one of them one-dimensional, either one of them goes one-dimensional, I think that team loses.
Okay, if they go one-dimensional, who has the edge there? If, let's say, the running game equals out.
From what I've seen so far this year, I would say LSU. I think Harris is a better passer than Cook. as of late. He's peaked at the right time. Now it all depends on which Coker shows up.
Right.
Yeah.
You get Coker that shows up from the Wyoming game or from the Ole Miss game. Well, the Ole Miss game you actually play pretty well. But you get Coker from Wyoming game, and I believe all of them get beat. But you get Coker that showed up from let's see, what was it, a couple weeks ago? Was it Texas A&M?
Yeah.
If you get that mm-hmm. Coker to show up, I believe Alabama.
Jeffrey, you would be all over this one then, because the over under Alabama LSU is 47.5.
Oh, I definitely go under. I definitely go under.
Yeah, I've just now looked at that. I didn't realize it was that high either. So I'll probably.
With the style of offenses and the way the defenses play for Alabama and LSU, I think each team is going to average 6 to 7 less plays than their average is this year.
Right.
I think it's just going to be a slow eat up the clock deal for both teams.
Have you had a change in opinion on the Ole Miss controversy? Ole Miss wins out, Alabama. I can still hear you.
He gone.
He gone. That sounded like a ghost that time. Yeah, 47.5 points, Bruce. What do you think?
Oh, I don't think they can score that many. What was it back? I don't remember. A couple of years ago, that they was it 9-6 or
yeah.
Something like that, you know, in a game. So I don't think they can score that many points.
None. And boy, oh, something I need to go over real quick while we see if Jeffrey's going to call back. While we're talking about college football, I got a SEC hot seat ranking. All right. These are coaches that are on the hot seat or going to be on the hot seat. Number 5, Kevin Sumlin, Texas A&M. Number 4, Gus Malzahn at Auburn. Number 3, Derek Mason, Vandy. Number 2, Mark Richt at Georgia. And number 1, of course, Sean Elliott at South Carolina, which he's really not the coach anyway.
He's back, but just to remind you, you got to go to break pretty soon, too, because
okay.
We moved Dan up. So.
All right, Jeffrey, we've got about 2 minutes, so what you got on your mind need to finish off with?
Hey, speaking of hot seat, you hear what Auburn down in Georgia today? We got so bad that Mark Richt had to get on Twitter and say that his defensive coach is still coaching and he's working on the game plan for Kentucky.
Oh, no, I haven't heard that.
Yeah, I heard that, too, on another radio show this afternoon.
Come on, guys. There's no other radio shows on this one. I mean, come on.
Hey, Rick had to get on Twitter and send out Twitter that his coach was actually working on it.
Actually
in the office working on the game plan.
If he loses to Auburn, he had might as well go to U-Haul, rent his truck, get the boxes, and start packing because it's over.
I'm surprised he's lasted this long. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, yeah. He's the longest tenured coach in the SEC.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's going to take losing to Auburn. I think if he plays Kentucky close, I think Georgia fans are about fed up with him.
Yeah, what do you think about that game? It's Georgia minus 14.
I'd take Kentucky.
Is it at
Georgia or is it at Kentucky?
I think at Georgia.
It's at Georgia? I'd take Kentucky.
I'm going to agree with you again. That's scaring me, us agreeing this much.
I don't think we've ever agreed this much.
No.
Well,
all right, Jeffrey. The music's playing, so we got to make room for Dan here in a second. But, man, we appreciate you calling.
Well, y'all have a good one.
Hey, thanks, Jeff.
Take care.
Hey, I actually get to hang up the phone this time.
There you go. I hear you.
We'll see you.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
All right. Jeffrey Sullins, good caller, calls pretty often. So Florida State fans, the only thing we can hold against
them. Yeah. Which I tell you, they got Clemson. That's going to be a good ball game.
Oh, yeah. All right. Stay with us. Dan Vosta will be joining us in about 2.5-3 minutes. He'll have a lot of info you're going to want to hear. Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Thursday edition.
Tommy Warhurst of Premier Insurance Agency. Fancy TV commercials and jingles are nice, but they're expensive, and you shouldn't have to pay for them. If your insurance agent works for one of those big companies, then they work for the company,
Who's working for you? As your independent insurance agent, my hands aren't tied to one big company. I shop America's top providers to get you the best price. A personal agent that works for you. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your independent insurance agent at Premier Insurance Agency on the corner of Graham and Main in Coleman. 297-2280. 297-2280.
Have you been to your mobile phone carrier store lately? You probably discovered the phones are overpriced and that those same great carriers, well, they're not really ready to help you absorb the cost of that phone anymore. Sounds like a great business opportunity, huh? Well, that's where the folks at Coleman Phone and Tablet have stepped up to the plate. Their business started with simple repairs of smartphones and tablet screens, but due to demand, has recently expanded to carrying a large selection of smartphones. If you're tired of your current model, hey, they'll even make you an offer on it. Next time you need a new phone, you really should check with them first. We do. They're just across from the carrier stores on Cherokee Avenue in the Best Way Shopping Center anyway. I mean, they're right there. You're in the area anyway. Why not stop in and see what they have? Hours 10 to 7, weekdays 10 to 5 on Saturday, and close 12 to 1 for lunch. Or check them out on Facebook. Coleman Phone and Tablet. What would we ever do without them?
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
Whoa! You know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hand up and shout, throw my head back and shout, come on now, don't forget to say you will.
All I can say is that's what we all do whenever it's time for Dan the Man. We shout.
Yeah, and throw our hands up because of things that I'm fixing to ask Dan about. Dan, welcome to Sports Talk Live. Dan, are you with me? Jay, I think we have lost Dan.
I think he's there. I still hear something, but maybe we have.
Dan, can you hear us?
He might be shouting, too. All right, I'll try him again.
Yeah. All right, while we're waiting on Dan, hearing a little music in the background. Sometimes things go haywire.
Yeah, you never know.
Blame it on the new time. Blame it on something.
That's right. You like this new time?
I don't.
I tell you, I don't like, you know, when the I like to have a little evening, you know, a little sun, daylight in the late evening and stuff. I don't like it either.
You know, it's like the old farmer said years ago, everybody's heard it said that this, he didn't like this time of year when the time changed because his plants didn't get as much sunlight as they normally would.
That's right.
Maybe the phone will work out this time. In the process of connecting up with Dan the Man. And I had something else while we were getting him, but I'm not going to have time to get into it, so bear with us just a second. I want to talk more about the hot seat.
He should be with us now.
Dan, are you with us?
I am. How's it going, guys?
Hey, great, Dan. My sorry partner, Ronnie, is down at the beach enjoying the warm weather and sun, so good friend of mine, Bruce Parker, sitting in with me today.
How you doing, Dan?
I'm great. No worries. How's it going?
That's going good.
Hey, Dan, let's get it right out of the way, get the elephant out of the room. The committee has released its first ranking, and I sent you this. Any surprises? I know there has to be a surprise, but what team or teams surprise you the most in this?
Well, I think Bama at four is certainly a little surprising, not shocking. I think clearly the committee is making a statement in terms of really it's all about how talented you are and most importantly, who had you played so far up to this moment in time. And so I thought Bama and Notre Dame would be more so sixth and seventh ranked as opposed to four and five. But I think TCU got a little bit of a raw deal at eight, and I think they'll make a statement game against Oklahoma State, who's also undefeated and ranked 14th. Baylor at six, not shocking. I thought they'd be four or five. So really no huge beef. I think the biggest beef I laugh is because I didn't think Northwestern would be ranked, and they're somehow 21 due to that big-time win in the opener against Stanford, but have lost twice since then. So that's kind of neither here nor there, but that was really my only beef. So overall, it wasn't really quite the hoopla like everybody was kind of making it out to be, and luckily these games are getting to be played, and more importantly, November is finally upon us, so the bigger games are now here.
Right. Dan, which of these teams do you think has the easiest path to stay put in the top four, and then which teams do you think will be out of it before it's over?
Yeah, I think the easiest path, I would go slightly with Clemson over Ohio State. But that said, I think we'll know more this week, and if Clemson loses, then their chances are pretty much done. I think it's going to be tough for them to get in with one loss. But I think it's pretty close. I think Ohio State I'd like to kind of lean with. I'm more confident with them kind of winning out than Clemson. So those are kind of the two easiest teams right there. And then the toughest, I really think it's still going to be, you know, the Alabama-LSU game. Obviously, if Alabama loses, they're donezo. If LSU loses, they're not done. They could still sneak in at potentially number four if they can go 10-1 and look impressive with Ole Miss and A&M still on the schedule. But I would probably slightly lean with Alabama just because I think this LSU game is going to take a lot out of them, and then they got to go on the road and start Vegas the following week, not to mention almost guaranteed to play the Florida Gators now in Atlanta. So that's three of the better teams in America, two, of course, in the top ten.
All right. Hey, before we talk about the game that's on everyone's mind, let's look at this past Saturday. My Auburn Tigers fall again to Ole Miss 28-19 in a game that many thought Auburn really blew, and I was one of them. Malzahn now being raked over the coals here in Alabama for his play calling in the red zone. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that loss was quite the big one. That kind of eliminated their chances, for me at least, to get to a bowl game. They still have Georgia on the schedule, but it's going to be, who have also been just as bad. But I think you talk about Auburn. A lot of the critics, I think they're worth it. It's just amazing when you look at Auburn this year. 114th in third down defense, 115th in the country in tackles for losses. That's abysmal. That's just in the FCS.
Oh, yeah.
You got just barely over 120 teams ranked. And I thought going into the season, if Carl Lawson was going to be a world beater, who he is when healthy, he would make this Auburn team legit, and they'd be a 9-win team. But he hasn't been healthy. Obviously, he's back finally now, but we'll see how healthy he can last. But without him, I thought this team was one of the worst teams defensively in the SEC without him making a big impact. Certainly, Casanova McKenzie's been a stud. Eight tackles or for losses, four sacks. He's been a stud. But outside of him, it's really been a bunch of other players that have kind of been filled in mediocrity. And certainly the defense and secondary mainly has been torched for most of the season. And then you just throw in the offensive issues. That'd be chaos, would be an understatement. It's just been an unfortunate and underperforming type of season. And certainly everybody likes to know what the future holds for this program.
Right, and right now I don't think anybody knows, including Gus Malzahn, but that's a subject for another day. Looking at Auburn's schedule, it's going to be tough to become bowl eligible, as you already talked about.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is Auburn's best route to six wins? Many people here think it's Idaho and Georgia. And if Auburn does beat Georgia, Dan, do you think that ends the tenure of Mark Richt at Georgia?
Yeah, I mean, certainly I think really nothing potentially will be interesting, but I think almost nothing can maybe keep Mark Richt at the helm at Athens. It's been a disastrous season where, myself included, I thought they were arguably the best team in the country going this season. I thought the quarterback position was going to take a step forward from last year, which was pretty mediocre, and in fact, obviously, it's taken a few steps backwards, you could argue only Vanderbilt maybe has a worse quarterback situation these days in the entire SEC, which is not something most anticipated, but maybe nothing holds Mark Richt from staying. He may resign himself or perhaps take a year or two off because he looks tired and disappointed, more so tired and kind of almost out of the planet, if you will. He's kind of zoning out, and maybe I would as well, as most people probably should, with their quarterback issues, and you lose Nick Chubb. Certainly there's been rumors that they've had issues with defensive coordinator Jeremy Pruitt, who's had a lot of success everywhere but Georgia so far. So it's been a tough year, and I think obviously there's a good chance that he potentially could take a year off or go elsewhere, such as Miami. But I think the best route for Auburn is to beat Idaho and Georgia, obviously, to get to six wins and get to a lower-tier bowl. If not, they can't get by Georgia in a more likely a low-scoring game in a few weeks. Auburn goes 5-7 and then has to look for answers this offseason.
All right. Hi, Dan. This is Bruce. The state of Alabama is buzzing with anticipation of LSU at Bryant-Denny Saturday night. Give us your thoughts on this heavyweight bout. Does LSU have enough firepower outside of Fournette to beat Alabama?
Oh, absolutely. I think this is, you know, one of the better games not we'll just see all year, but you could go back a few years in terms of regular season matchups. You just look at the last decade, LSU and Bama have played four overtime games. Wouldn't be shocked if we see another one. This is the best matchup in the country.
Right.
You could argue it's maybe the best matchup in all of football this week, with all due respect to the NFL, but outside of the Packers and Panthers, give me Bama-LSU. Leonard Fournette running against a front seven that's been compared to almost everybody but the 85 Bears. Leonard Fournette is going to have a monster game, I think, to carry LSU on his back, because I think, obviously, Alabama and Kirby Smart are going to make Brandon Harris beat them, which is quite the accomplishment and matchup, because Brandon Harris, despite the competition, maybe lack thereof outside the Gators, Brandon Harris has zero interceptions on the year. But this is all about, for me, maybe Fournette's getting the hype, and I can't wait for that matchup. But the LSU receivers are loaded. Malachi Dupree's likely going to be a first-round draft pick in 2 years. Follow the footsteps, you see Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry having a monster year. But the Alabama secondary has been maybe one of the most impressive, overachieving positional group units in the country this season.
Right,
they've made lots of good passing offenses look fairly mediocre, such as Texas A&M, along with a few other squads. So this game is going to be amazing. Potentially, in my opinion at least, the two best teams in the country on paper. It has to be a close game for LSU to get back in the CFP discussion. If Alabama loses, of course, then they're pretty much donezo. It's just a matter of can they still sneak in with a New Year's Six bowl game with two losses and second place finish in the SEC West, maybe even third, depending on what Ole Miss does with that tiebreaker over the Tide. So lots of implications on that one, not just the Heisman, but more importantly, we could potentially see LSU lose a slugfest, a 24-20 type of game. I'm predicting Bama to come out victorious. But if it's a close game like I anticipate, I think LSU deserves no worse than a top four, top five ranking come next Tuesday. If they win the rest of their games, they have no business not being ranked in the top four. So I think it's a disgrace if you rank LSU outside of the CFP if they have a tough loss, close loss this weekend, because they've proven to me they're as good as any team in the country, and a close loss at Tuscaloosa is no harm, no foul for me.
Right, I agree with that. If Alabama beats LSU, will we see them ranked in the top four of the next poll, or will it take most, if not all, the remaining season for Alabama to work their way in?
Yeah, I think they're going to stay put. Obviously, they shocked everybody right last night with being Tuesday night with being ranked number four. Obviously, you could argue they'll be number two probably if they could get a big win over LSU.
Right.
The only team I think could potentially have them would be Clemson if they can survive the Florida State test. But
right.
If Clemson were to lose, all of a sudden Alabama could be number one over Ohio State. In fact, I think
Dan,
that's my
bite
prediction
your
right
tongue.
Now. I think
bite your tongue, Dan. I said bite your tongue. I can't even stand the thoughts of Alabama being at number one.
Oh, I know. They lose the game to Ole Miss, and all of a sudden, in a matter of weeks, I think they'll be number one. But certainly those are two toss-up games, in my opinion. You look at Clemson, FSU,
right.
And obviously LSU, Bama. So we'll have to wait and see. But I think there's a chance they'll be number one come next Tuesday night.
Okay, Dan. There are already several job openings for next season. What are the top two openings we know of as of now.
Yeah, I think if Mark Richt were to leave Georgia, whether it's resigned, fired, whatever the case may be, I think that's probably your number one job position, or at least co-number ones with USC for the Trojans. If that opening position at Georgia isn't open, if it still remains Mark Richt's job, or I think USC Trojans and the Miami Hurricanes, I guess I would slightly lean towards them as that next best gig, despite perhaps not paying their head coach more than a handful of millions, because we haven't seen them really overpay for certain coaches. We've seen Randy Shannon, Al Golden, of course, not really bring in the big-time bucks compared to the premier programs that the Hurricanes once were and still consider themselves to be in terms of their history. But we're going to have to wait and see what they do, Miami. Perhaps Mark Richt goes there. Perhaps Justin Fuente. He's been rumored for many positions out of Memphis with potential for them to go undefeated.
Right.
But really, it's still up for grabs to see how Georgia finishes the season. We'll have to see how Mark Richt feels at the end of the year, what kind of bowl game they get, what kind of performance. Is this a team that's going to show up week in and week out and want to finish strong? Because on paper, Georgia should win out and go 10-3, but easier said than done. Georgia finds ways to lose certain games like Tennessee.
Right. Right.
So we'll have to kind of wait and see, but I certainly think Georgia's a top-notch program in terms of coaching gigs, along with USC.
Right. I agree, Dan. Thank you.
Dan, I got a couple of more things. One more question, then I want to throw a curveball at you. But the last thing I want to talk about is get your opinion on how the officials of the Miami-Duke game managed to miss so many calls in one series of plays there. And do you think the punishment passed down, the two-week suspension, fits the crime?
I'd argue that it doesn't. I mean, I think 2 weeks is certainly perhaps enough, but I would argue that maybe they need to sit out the rest of the regular season, which is, what, now a month until at least the postseason. And I could even argue maybe they don't deserve a bowl game because that was chaotic. It was disastrous. Certainly watching it live with some friends, I still remember. I felt like it was an hour, just that last drive when Duke took the go-ahead touchdown and then kicked off. I felt like the whole night was that scenario. I felt like I was ready for bed almost watching that game complete because so much was going on. So, it was pretty chaotic, and I think to see that, clearly a knee down and some blocks in the back, very questionable. And I think when you look at that, I think the punishment was worthy. If not, maybe perhaps they could have done more. So certainly what's done is done, even though some people want to, give that win back or give that to Duke instead of Miami. But it doesn't look like to be the case right now, and I certainly think the punishment fits the crime per se. They could have even done more, in my opinion.
Right. I agree with you on that. I saw an interesting article today from Saturdays Down South that ranked the SEC hot seat for coaches, and I'm going to run through the top six or seven here, and you just tell me agree, disagree, and a little explanation, whichever you think. Of course, Sean Elliott is number one at South Carolina, and that goes without saying, just a temporary coach. So we'll skip on. Let's go to Mark Richt at number two.
I will slightly disagree, but I think he deserves to be in the top three or four because, I mean, just look at myself. I thought Georgia was going to win the national championship, so I'm the fool that thought they're going to be great, and so I wouldn't count that out. I think certainly we've talked about it for the last week or two, so I'll slightly agree with that, I'll say.
Okay. Derek Mason at number three.
Yeah, I think he's almost a mortal lock to more than likely no longer coach that team next season. We'll have to see how they finish, but it's not looking too good for him.
Boy, it could have been really disastrous if he hadn't eked out a couple of wins there. But at number four, Gus Malzahn at Auburn.
Yeah, I think the top three, I think, are in deep danger of not coaching their programs next year. I think I would cut the cutoff list, if you will, right there. I think a huge year for Gus Malzahn next year, assuming they don't, get embarrassed perhaps in the Iron Bowl or embarrassed by Georgia. It would be, it would be great if they got in a bowl game. If they go 5-7 and avoid getting smoked by Bama by 40, I think he can get one more year. But, he's just certainly not a lock, in my opinion, to coach next year. We'll have to wait and see how this year finishes. But he's certainly in a little bit of jeopardy. I think more than likely next year is the year where if he can't put up 9-plus wins, he's going to be more than likely adios.
Right. Kevin Sumlin, Texas A&M.
Well, I'm assuming when they say hot seat, is this specifically a not winning, or are they saying that he thinks he's a goner?
No, they...
In terms of taking another gig.
No, it's a... Look at it as the seat is getting hotter. Maybe not in danger necessarily
yeah.
of being gone next year, but if something don't happen, mm-hmm. that will, as you said, in Gus's case.
I'll disagree slightly. I mean, I still think they're going to win at least 8-9 games this year if you count the bowl game. It's just going to be interesting to see if he takes another gig, such as perhaps the NFL down the road, but USC certainly, I think, would be calling at least match that payroll and potentially have a better chance to succeed, in my opinion, in the Pac-12, despite being the Pac-12 South, compared to the devastating SEC West. I'm looking at more in the future. I think he's got A&M on the right path, and I think next year they're still going to be, in my opinion, a preseason top 10 team.
Okay, and number 6 kind of surprised me, Brett Bielema at Arkansas. He has a $15.4 million buyout, so I think he's pretty safe.
Wow.
Yeah. And they could also miss a bowl game, so it is going to be very interesting if they want to just, you know, pay that man and eat the bank, I guess, on that one.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, he's been struggle city for the most part. Last year they finished so hot, and this year losing Jonathan Williams right before the season started. And then it really became a passing team for a few weeks. They haven't really been able to kind of win some big games. Their biggest win, arguably, over Auburn. So, I will slightly disagree with that. I think he agree with you. He's probably safe for at least another year, if not more. But next year's going to be a big-time year because they got to get back to the postseason since there's a chance, good chance, they won't be bowling this year.
Right. Okay, it's time for buy, sell, and hold. Real quickly, I'll explain this to somebody who may not have heard this segment. I give out an ideal. Dan and Bruce will either buy the stock. They believe this is true. They will sell it. Don't believe it's going to happen or don't believe it's true. Or they get one hold per segment. And I guess it really means you don't really have an opinion right now. So, Dan, we'll start with you since you're our special guest. The College Football Playoff Committee blew the first rankings.
Oh, I'm going to sell that. I think that would be a little bit of an overstatement. It's a little drama, kind of like watching a soap opera in the middle of the day.
Right.
I think it was just 1 week. All the big games are ahead of us. This weekend should be the greatest weekend of the season, which is saying something because I feel like every week where we don't have a big slate of games, that's when the chaos happens and a great finish. So I would disagree. I think the overall ranking is going to play itself out. It wasn't disastrous or embarrassing. I think for the most part, they got the best teams ranked in those top 4 to 10 spots, and I think things will continue to develop as the juggernauts or undefeated teams currently continue to lose, which I think we'll see at least a few this weekend. So I'm going to sell that.
Okay. Dan is selling. Bruce?
I agree with Dan, Jason. We'll sell that also. I think like you said, you know, the bigger games are you know, this weekend and to come in the month of November. So I'll sell it. I'll agree with Dan.
All right. Bruce, we'll start with you for number 2. Forget Ole Miss. The winner of the Alabama LSU game will end up as the Western Division champions.
I'll buy that. I think LSU, I tell you right now, they're tough to beat. They're going to, you know, Tuscaloosa this weekend, but I think they've got what it takes to beat Alabama and to beat Ole Miss, win out, and be the, you know, the West champions to go on to the championship game.
All right, so you're buying stock in this. Dan, what about you?
Yeah, I got to buy that. I think that's an easy buy, one of the easiest ones we've done maybe in buy, sell, hold history. I think the winner of this Bama LSU game is pretty much a mortal lock. I know not mathematically eliminated, Ole Miss is not such, but I think the winner of this game is going to win the division. If Bama wins, I think you'll see Ole Miss at least lose one more time, perhaps two, but I like LSU to bounce back and beat Ole Miss and even beat A&M. So I think Ole Miss throws the key. I think they're going to lose at home to LSU down the road. I think Bama survives and wins the West. So the winner of this game, in my opinion, yes, winner of the West. So I will buy that.
All right. Next question, I think this is my favorite question of the buy, sell, and hold this week, Dan. Gus Malzahn will be forced to make changes at the season's end. The changes will start with replacing Rhett Lashley, who will be thrown under the bus to take the blame for Malzahn.
Yeah, I'll buy that. I'm not the most confident, but I'll buy that just for the fact that the offensive coordinator in so many programs, even in the NFL, they're one of the first ones to go. They take the blame, they take the heat. So, obviously, Will Muschamp's his first year. He's not taking the heat for a defense that's been terrible for the last couple of years, and I think I'll buy that. I think the OC oftentimes goes, and then soon enough, if not a year or sooner, the head coach often is put on the hot seat. So I'll buy that.
All right. Bruce?
Yes, I'll agree with Dan also on that one. I'll buy that. I think, you know, the way Auburn has been performing in the red zone, you know, and the offensive coordinator there, you know, big part of the calling plays, I guess. And but I guess Malzahn has a say in it. But still, like you said, he's going to, you know, the offensive coordinator sort of takes the heat, first one to go.
All right. Bruce, back to you. Squeaky clean, Mark Richt at Miami would be as strange as Nick Saban at Auburn.
I don't know about that. I guess I'll hold on that one. I guess we'll just sort of wait and see. I know Mark Richt. I like Mark Richt as a guy. You know, I don't know if he's been getting the job done or with the athletes that he's been, you know, that he has over there. You know, they recruit well. They're in the top, you know, usually recruiting class each year. So, you know, seeing Mark Richt at Miami, I don't know after their history.
It'd be a strange look.
It would.
Dan?
Yeah, I'm actually going to sell that just because of the fact that Mark Richt, of course, went to Miami. It would be, don't get me wrong, it would be a little strange, but I wouldn't be compared to Nick Saban at Auburn.
Yeah, that would be a stretch.
That. We've seen some strange things happen before. I wouldn't be shocked. I think he could, you know, win some big-time games at Miami. So I'm actually going to sell that one.
Okay, back to you, Dan. Saturday night's Alabama-LSU game will feature a minimum of 14 players on the field who will be playing in the NFL next season.
I'm going to buy that, and I'll quickly go through some names where I think the 14 are coming from. It's amazing the future so bright for, obviously, these programs. But I think Bama has likely Ryan Kelly, their center, running back Derrick Henry, and Kenyon Drake. That's three on offense right there. And then defense, give me A'shaun Robinson, Jaron Reed. I think Jonathan Allen's likely to enter the draft. Reggie Ragland, Reuben Foster perhaps, Cyrus Jones. That's six more, nine total right there by Bama. And then for LSU, give me Vidal and Alexander, the offensive guard. Kendall Beckwith may go and enter the draft. And then Lewis Neal's been a godsend off the edge for LSU this year as a junior. He likely could be a first or second rounder. Watch him this weekend. And the secondary is just DBU, according to some. So give me Jalen Mills, Trey Davis White. I think that's, what, 14 exactly. And the amazing part is LSU's entire offense, skill-wise, skill players, all sophomores for the most part, so they'll be back and loaded next year, as, of course, Alabama will, as usual. But I got 14 on the dot right now that I think are fairly safe of getting drafted or at least playing on the field sometime next year on Sunday. So I'll buy that.
Boy, Dan, your counting and my counting was pretty close then, so to come up with the same number. All right, Bruce.
Yeah, I agree also with Dan. I'll buy that. And I tell you, Alabama, you know, top-notch players along with LSU, you know, year in, year out, and you know, we see them playing on Sundays, you know, so I agree. I'll buy that.
Back to you, Bruce. After the driving under the influence charges, Urban Meyer now has a quarterback controversy.
Oh, I'll buy that. I think, you know, they've had a quarterback controversy, you know, with, you know, I know the at the end of the year, you know, Cordell Jones, you know, coming in and playing well. But, you know, I think the other guys were, you know, sort of I would say they was, you know, a little miffed. I know they're getting on the field a little bit, but I buy that. I agree.
Okay. Dan?
Yeah, I'll buy that as well. I think I'd love to see Cordell Jones have a big-time success, at least this weekend against Minnesota. They probably won't ask him to throw the ball too much. He may tuck and run very often. And it'll be interesting to see how JT Barrett responds. And that's why I think that we do have a little controversy, because now that he's gotten some little trouble, he's a youngster, he hasn't, you know, it's interesting to bounce back from a national championship and then you get some trouble. Everybody's targeting on your back like everybody's Super Bowl weekend is playing Ohio State. So I'll buy that. I think if Cardell plays well, and avoid turning the ball over. All of a sudden, all it takes is JP to circle just a little bit, and we'll get controversy. So I think we do have some going into this weekend, or we will, I think, after the weekend for sure.
Okay, back to you, Dan, for the last question. Before the college football playoffs begin, there will be two new teams sitting in the top four.
Wow, I'm going to hold that for the time being. I'll use my one hold because I haven't used one yet. But I love these four teams in terms of talent and just their, I think their end of the season. I think all four, I think, are locks to finish the year in the top ten. But to answer the question, I'm going to hold just because I feel like Clemson can lose a game and get lapped out of the CFP with a one loss. And potentially if they lose this weekend, there's a good chance that they won't win their own division, let alone the ACC. And I think Ohio State, you know, I think they're fairly safe. I think Alabama's going to win, and they're going to be fairly safe. I feel like LSU's going to need to sweat this one out. If they lose a close game, I think people are going to write them off a little bit and want to jump them off. And I think that they're going to have to, you know, impress down the road. So, you know what, I think there's going to be at least two teams sitting in before the playoffs get underway, but I'm kind of holding because obviously a lot of things can change this weekend based on those two big matchups alone. So I'm just going to use my hold for the week. I don't always use it, but this week I'll hold just because if anything's shown us with referees in the ACC, chaos is pretty much a lot to happen.
That's right. All right, Bruce.
All right, I can't hold again.
You can't hold
right?
again.
I was going to agree with Dan. I tell you, we will see two new teams.
Two new teams
in the top four.
Two will remain and two will be gone.
Two will remain and two will be gone. I'll buy that. I'll buy that. I think you know after this weekend, I know, you know, LSU, Alabama, one of them, I think, you know, if Alabama definitely loses, I think they're out. They're going to be not be in the top four again. But, and, you know, I can see Clemson stumbling. I mean, it could be this weekend and even, you know, mm-hmm. maybe the last game with South Carolina. I mean, I know South Carolina not having the year where, you know, with Spurrier gone and got the interim head coach in there, but they sort of come in and gave them some life, you know, gave them a little energy. So, you know, that's a big game, big rivalry game there at the end of the year. So I'll buy that. I'll say there's two new teams.
All right. Good deal, Dan. We have come to the end, and, man, we appreciate it. And we're going to let you get your Thursday night started, and I bet your Thursday night will include some football.
Always does. I appreciate you guys having me on. Always enjoyed the Pigskin, and it's good to get it started and underway this tonight. So you guys have a great weekend. Enjoy the games as much as I know I will.
Good deal, Dan. You, too. Have yourself a great
one. Have a great one, guys.
Thanks,
right,
Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Take care, Bruce. You, too.
All right. Dan Vosta.
We're full of information.
Oh, I'm telling you, he's got it, man.
Yeah,
he has got it.
Yeah.
All right, 501. We're going to go to a quick break. Come back. Get your pencil and paper out because you're going to want to put down some of these picks.
Oh,
Sports
yeah.
Talk Live 95.5. Coleman. So nice. I got you.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. From a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP, Coleman.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. A Florida man pleads guilty to attempted murder of an Alabama state trooper. 20-year-old Nelson Bell of West Palm Beach also faces other charges related to a high-speed chase in Autauga County, but they were dropped as part of a plea deal. The Alabama Law Enforcement Agency says a state trooper attempted to pull Bell over for speeding last year, but he led authorities on a chase instead through several jurisdictions. Bell accused of firing several shots at one pursuing trooper during that chase. A man steals a cop's SUV and leads authorities on a chase through four counties. 31-year-old Johnny Cable accused of taking the Birmingham officer's SUV during a traffic stop where two people were arrested. Law enforcement chased Cable until he wrecked in Heflin. Birmingham Police Lieutenant Sean Edwards says Cable could face numerous charges in each county involved in this chase. And numerous presidential candidates visiting Alabama. They have a filing deadline of Friday for the March 1st primary. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Baldwin County District Attorney Hallie Dixon will not seek another term, announcing today after much prayer and consideration she will not seek re-election. She took office in 2010, but has been plagued in the recent past by an age discrimination lawsuit, personal problems brought on by barking dogs, and pot-laced brownies being brought into her office. The election primary is scheduled for March 8th. A surveillance system and social media nab a thief, and Concord, a home security system activated during a break-in. Thief ran off without taking anything, but the security system took a picture of him. That pic posted on social media. Jefferson County Sheriff's Office said that led to the arrest of 25-year-old Jamie Schuyler Boley of Tuscaloosa. And former UAB quarterback turned country music star Sam Hunt nominated for 3 awards tonight in the Country Music Association Awards. He's already picked up Songwriter Artist of the Year in the ASCAP Country Music Awards earlier this week. I'm Angie Norfell. This is ARN.
Well, my husband is a retired sergeant from the Air Force.
Well, he's was in the Army for 14 years and an MP.
23 million veterans, they're heroes who need our help.
Well, I'm here because my daughter has had her 3rd surgery for cancer.
We've had some difficulties, so we're here quite some time. We're going on to 3 weeks.
When our heroes' families need help, they turn to Fisher House.
We learned about the Fisher House through the doctor, and we were so grateful, because who has 3 weeks to be able to come and stay at a hotel?
Fisher House is a safe, free place to stay for families of wounded warriors and veterans receiving treatment at VA and military medical centers.
Fisher House is not only a home away from home, it was like family away from family.
Thank you, Fisher House.
Thank you, Fisher House.
Helping military and veterans families. Fisher House at fisherhouse.org. Sometimes having family close by is a hero's best medicine.
In money news, many layoffs hitting coal miners and steel workers. Jefferson County wants to help. Commission President Jimmy Stevens says lost jobs hurt the local economy.
This is going to represent $120 million worth of economic impact on the citizens of Jefferson County.
1,100 workers laid off at U.S. Steel in Fairfield. At Walter Energy's Jim Walter, number 7 mine in Brookwood, 260 workers have been idled, nearly half the mine's workforce. Company blaming layoffs on lower demand for coal. Company stresses these layoffs are temporary. In recent weeks, they've laid off some 400 miners. G Mama Cookies, a Selma-based cookie maker, made the top 10 in a contest to win a commercial during the Super Bowl. It's the Small Business Big Game competition sponsored by Intuit QuickBooks. Final 3 has been announced. Unfortunately, G Mama's didn't make the cut. A 72-year-old employee of the Goodyear Gadsden plant officially retires. 90-year-old Sid Richardson's been with the company since 1943. I'm Angie Norfell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
.506 and a little different time this week, but my man with the plan, Chris Andrews, joins us. Chris, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Oh, you threw my whole schedule off, Jason.
I'm telling you. Chris, I got to tell you, man, this is one of my favorite times of the week when we get to talk to you. Bruce Parker sitting in for Ronnie. Ronnie is being sorry down at the beach, so I got a good friend of mine sitting in. I told Bruce this is one of my favorite segments. What a great guy you are to talk to and help us out.
Well, thanks for all the accolades. I hope I don't disappoint Bruce.
Nah, man.
No, it's good to be here, Chris. Nice to talk to you.
Chris, let's get it kicked off, and let's talk a little bit of football and controversy possibly surrounding the first poll out by the playoff committee. Alabama coming in at number 4 with a loss and Notre Dame at 5. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I vote in a poll. I mean, obviously not this poll, but they asked me just vote according to how I rated my teams from a handicapper's perspective. And I had Alabama in my top 4. I had Bama, Ohio State, Baylor, and I had Stanford, which threw some people off. But, you know, that's who I had. And so I have no beef with the poll. I think it so far so good. You know, I think a lot of this stuff will work itself out.
Right. And this weekend's going to go a long way.
Yeah.
In that.
Absolutely.
Chris, tell us, you see Alabama in there at number 4. How do you justify putting Alabama and Notre Dame at 4-5 with a loss ahead of TCU, Baylor, Michigan State. Is it all scheduling?
Yeah, it is, sure. And, you know, you guys are SEC guys. I mean, listen, like I said, I've knocked the SEC as much as anybody. I think that they stack the deck a little bit, but nonetheless, they are the best conference, and you just can't argue it. I've gone through it numerically, mathematically, and everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but they're not entitled to their own facts.
Right.
The facts are the SEC is the best. Now, as I said, you got LSU and Alabama playing this week. Well, whoever loses, they're going to be out. I mean, if Bama loses, they're going to be out. They'll have two losses, and that's it. They'll be done. LSU will still only have one loss, and I guess they could get back in it, but they'll certainly be out of it for this time. Now, over in the Big 12, you know, you got, I think there's three very viable teams. Actually, probably four. I mean, you put Baylor and TCU, of course. Oklahoma State is still undefeated. I don't think they're quite that good. But, I mean, if they win out, then all credit to them. And I think Oklahoma's lurking in the weeds there. They did have the clunker against Texas. But if they win out, I mean, I think we still have to take a real close look at Oklahoma. I think they're still very much in the hunt. But once again, at this point in time, talk about all those teams that haven't played each other yet. I mean, as good as all those four teams I just mentioned, none of them has played each other. So now once they get another one of those on their schedule and then they can start arguing about their resume, then there's some legitimacy to it. But not, you know, Baylor has the worst schedule of any Power 5 team.
Oh, no doubt about it.
You know, I mean, so who's that on? That's not on me and you. That's on them for scheduling.
Right, and it looks... It looks sexy to put up 70 or 80 points, but when you're doing it on the Sisters of the Poor, you know, it don't look near as good.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, let's let them play their schedule. And in the end, you know, I'm reasonably confident one of those Big 12 teams will be in the top five. So or in the top four. So I do think that, but let them play each other first, and then we'll start talking about it.
Right.
Hey, Chris, this is Bruce. I was going to ask you, who will you be watching in tonight's games, and where will your money be?
You're going to get right to the point.
I like this guy. There's no messing around. You know, I got two games I did bet tonight. Now, one probably I'm not going to watch that much. That's Western Michigan. I like that team. I think it's actually a pretty good team. Out of the MAC, who's not bad this year. Anyway, I got Western Michigan, but I got Mississippi State tonight over Missouri.
Yeah.
I just think right now that, you know, Matty Mock, I never thought that much of him as a quarterback, but boy, they really do miss him for Missouri now that he's out. I mean, you know, there's three of their last four games, they've only managed to put up single digits offensively. And, you know, Mississippi State is a team that I didn't think was going to be very good. But they've surprised me. That's a pretty good team.
Yeah.
And Dak Prescott, not getting nearly the publicity he got last year, but he's having a really good year.
Right.
And Mullen, I think, over there doing a really good job. And I think right now you've got two teams going in two different directions. I don't see much enthusiasm out of Missouri, whether it's coaching, fans, or the team on the field. I would say the exact opposite out of Mississippi State. So I'm on Mississippi State. I hate laying those kind of points on the road, but I think that's the right side. I think that's the winner.
All right. Thank you.
Chris, I heard an interesting stat today. He said Missouri, I think the next time they possess the ball will be 40 possessions since scoring an offensive touchdown.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Yeah, 40
that's
possessions.
That's unbelievable.
That's worse than Auburn. Hey, real quick. Let's talk about Auburn just a second. They almost slipped my mind. It's easy to do these days. But what happened?
Yeah.
Where did the wheels come off last Saturday? They get in the red zone, and they couldn't punch it in time after time after time. What is going on at Auburn? Is you think Gus Malzahn is getting too cute with the play calling, or what? What do you think?
You know, I don't know that I could say that. I don't know, but I was in the sports book, and I was really concentrating on the Breeders' Cup an awful lot last week, but I had that Mississippi-Auburn game right in my sight, you know, on the TV that I could watch. And it did seem, so I don't know how many red zone trips that Auburn made, but it just seemed like they kept knocking on the door to get this number covered, and they could never quite do it. So, I really don't know. I think I told you before, though, I think this is just one of those years for Auburn. You just got to toss it aside. Some things came apart, and Malzahn couldn't put them back together again. I still have a lot of confidence in him as a coach, but you know what? We got to see him put it back together again next year. I just don't see it happening this year, and I think sometimes there's a multitude of reasons that you just can't put your finger on it. I think that's what's happened to Auburn this year.
Who's in a worse position right now, in your opinion, Chris? Malzahn at Auburn or Mark Richt at Georgia?
Oh, no. That's got to be Mark Richt. I'm hoping you're joking.
Hey, it is getting pretty heated here in Alabama at Malzahn, so you would have to hear some of the local sports shows. I mean, there's people ready to hang Malzahn. So.
Well, you guys have a short memory. I'd say you guys, but I mean, everybody does. I mean, that's just the landscape everywhere in the world right now.
That's it.
But needless to say, you guys are known for your passion down there, and that can go both ways. But I think Malzahn certainly, we talked about this last week, Jason. If you take a job, you're getting paid $4 or $5 million a year. Well, that's what you signed up for, and then you're going to get this kind of treatment when things go wrong.
That's right.
If you don't want this kind of treatment, go coach at a Division II school.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you'll be just fine.
Chris, my opinion on Gus, and tell me if you agree or not, but I think Gus needs at least 2 more years after this year to get his system in place, get his players in place, and then let's see where Auburn stands. If he hadn't produced in 2 more years, then, yeah, let's make a change. But to pull the trigger right now, I think it's premature.
I think to pull the trigger right now would be insane. I think that guy would have another job in 2 minutes.
I think at least
you're saying 2 years. I'm glad you said 2 years, because I think a lot of guys down there probably saying one. But
right.
I think 2 is much better, because I think the guy is a good coach, a proven coach. And I listen to Feinbaum a lot. I like him. And Feinbaum is early, last year was saying, and he's a big Saban guy.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah, he said, listen, as much as I think of Nick Saban, not only is Nick Saban possibly not the best coach in the country, he might not be the best coach in the state of Alabama. So for Feinbaum to say something like that means he thought a lot of Malzahn. I'm not sure I agree with him, and I'm not sure Paul even agreed with that. He just threw out that possibility. But I think that Malzahn deserves a year that things just didn't go right. It happens to a lot of coaches, and unfortunately for guys like you, it happened this year.
Right. But I was fortunate enough not to buy season tickets this year. For some reason, I just didn't do it. So. Hey, going to ask you about a few games, and then at the end I want to talk a little bit about the NFL and the Panthers. I got a story to tell you about that, but we'll have to save that one for the end. It's kind of a sad ending for it, and you can imagine. But I'm going to throw out a game, and then I'm going to let Bruce throw out a couple. The game I want to know about this weekend that I'm most interested in, other than Alabama LSU, is tell me Florida State Clemson. Florida State, you're catching, 12.5 points?
Yeah, right in there. I was just looking at that game. I write an article for an outfit called Line Makers, and I'm covering that game for them this week. I like Clemson, and it's one of those games. Yeah, you look at a 12-point spread, and Florida State has dominated this series. Like, they've dominated almost all series for a long, long time. I know they've won 3 in a row. Last time in Clemson, they really whooped them last time in Clemson. I think it was like 51-0 at some point.
Yeah, it was ugly.
Clemson scored late. Yeah, but I like Clemson in this game. I think if you look up and down, all the things that both teams do, and I know Florida State's a little bit down this year, but still, you look up and down, everything that I used to handicap games with, Clemson is a little better in every single one of those categories. And, we always look at differentials. And Clemson right now, their defense is a lot better than it's been in a long time, and their offense can really produce some points. And Florida State, just not quite what we're used to over the last really couple decades, they've just fallen into a little bit of mediocrity. I hate to use that word because Florida State's still a pretty legit team, but they're just not as good as Clemson.
Right.
And I think Dabo Swinney, you know, might not be as nice a guy as what he, you know, seeing him dancing in the locker rooms and stuff like that. I think he may have it out, and if he could keep his foot on the gas a little bit here, I think he'd be more than happy to do this. So right now I'm betting on Clemson in this game. I laid the 12, and I'm going to stick with it. I think Clemson's the right side, and that's what I'm going to play.
All right, good deal.
All right, Chris, it's Bruce again. I was going to get your thoughts on the Auburn-Texas A&M game.
You know, that's a toughie. I looked at that game. I really can't decide. So I'm not going to play that game either way. You know, I think both teams, you know, we've been talking a lot about Auburn, actually, but Texas A&M, they've had their own disappointments this year.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that, well, you know, Jason will tell you, we probably a month ago, we were talking about Sumlin picking any job he wanted, had he wanted to leave Texas A&M.
Right, yeah.
And now we are a couple weeks later thinking he might not have a choice.
Yeah,
he
true.
He get the boot out of Texas A&M. So they've really kind of, they've been an up-and-down team, and I think that's fair to say ever since Johnny Manziel's left that they've really had trouble finding themselves. And I used to have to start asking yourself the question, was Sumlin just a product of Johnny Manziel? And,
right.
And I think that's a very legit question at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah, that's true.
He's still not, he's not that far out of it this year, but I think it's a big game for him. I mean, the rest of the way, I think all the games are big for him, but
yeah.
I think same you could say for Auburn, but I'm just not touching that game. I couldn't really get a feel for that as I looked at it.
Right. Of course, the big game, you know, Alabama, LSU, and, I want to ask you about what do you think about the over and under at 47.5?
Well, all the smart money's come in on the under in that game.
Yeah.
I think it opened like, I want to say 54 something.
Oh,
like that.
Wow. I missed that one, Chris.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. The first number was 54.
Oh, man, you're making me hurt.
I don't know. I think, first of all, I think both teams are really going to try to run the ball. Now, how successful they are, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think both teams will definitely try to run the ball. I'm on Alabama in this one, and I laid the 6.5. I think right now that they have a nobody's going to stop Fournette, or if they do, I'd be shocked. But I think Alabama will slow them down pretty good. They're and I don't have the number right in front of me, but they're only averaging, like, defensively, I think they're giving up, like, 2.8 yards a carry and about 70-some yards a game. So their run defense is really stifling.
Yeah.
Now, will they do that to Fournette? Probably not. You know, but I do think that they'll force LSU into a lot of passing situations. And I know Harris for LSU has had a pretty good year throwing the ball, and he's looking like he's getting better at doing it. But I also say during those games where he's improved, they haven't needed him. In other words, it was more of a luxury, him throwing the ball when the other team would have an 8-man front in there to stop Fournette. It was nice and he did well, but I think in this game he's going to need to do well rather than just having a luxury as an auxiliary part of the offense.
Right.
I think he's going to have to produce, and I don't think he's going to be able to. I think Bama's going to probably shut Fournette down a little and probably shut Harris down an awful lot.
Right.
And
yeah.
I think LSU is going to have an awful tough time getting in the end zone against the Bama defense. I still think it's going to be a pretty close game, but I think Bama wins. And somebody asked me the score, what I was thinking, I would say like about 24-13, something like that. So it looks like I like the under, too. I'm not really a big totals player, but 54, boy, I would love to get under that 54, but that's not going to be around anymore. But even at 47.5, 48, I think you made a little lower scoring than that, too.
Right.
Yeah, Chris, I wish you hadn't even told me about 54 points.
Sorry.
I was liking 47.5, and then you told me about 54, so that just ruined my night.
Now you feel like you're getting robbed.
Yeah, I do. I do, and I don't know what to do on it. Hey, let's talk quickly about the NFL. My Panthers squeaked out one after blowing a 23-6 lead and, of course, didn't cover the point spread. But I did manage to make it up in my quarters, so didn't come out too bad of a loss. But give us your thoughts on that game and, of course, the big game coming up this weekend, the Panthers and the Packers.
Well, first, last week, I don't know what happened to that team. They were really coasting. I didn't see it in the Colts to make any kind of comeback, but they sure did. And, you know, when they did, I think just took the Panthers a little while to get their feet back under them again and start playing some football down the stretch. But, you know, they did come through and win it in overtime. I think that's probably a testament to just it's a gutty team. I think Cam Newton fits them very well. I think the coach, Ron Rivera, I think he's come up with a good way for them to win a lot of football games. You know, they don't have a whole lot of explosive talent, but they have real good, solid talent going to win them a lot of games. So I give them credit there. I got to tell you, I really thought Carolina would be the favorite this week against Green Bay. You know, I'm awful surprised that Green Bay's even the favorite.
Right.
And now I see most of the money's on Green Bay. Mm-hmm. So this number's 2.5, and, you know, probably going to get to 3, I would say. But I could tell you, if it gets to 3, they're going to get my money on Carolina. I promise you that. I'd probably even take 2.5 if I have to. But I think Carolina, like I said, I just think they know how to win an awful lot of football games. And I think Green Bay's been exposed the last couple weeks. Probably not that good at defensively as we thought they were. And really, maybe a few holes in the offense, too. I mean, you just can't rely on Rodgers to do everything every single week.
Right.
I think that's really kind of what Green Bay's been geared around.
Okay, Chris, if you had to pick one game college, one game pro, and all your worldly possessions are going on these two games this weekend, what two games are you playing?
Oh, you're always making this stuff.
You got to make you think.
I would say in the colleges. Okay,
I like to throw you a curveball every now and then just to get you bad off your shoulder.
You're throwing me pretty good. Let me give you the pros first. I have two pro games. I bet Cincinnati, but I laid 10.5 in the game. The game's up to 13 now. I really love them this week. I'll tell you who else I really like. I like Philadelphia over Dallas. I think Dallas I think we're still not quite used to how bad this team is right now. That is a pretty bad team. And, you know, since they lost Romo and Dez Bryant's starting to come around a little bit, but he's still not himself. I think he cut two passes last week. But I think right now Philly certainly has their troubles too, but I think they have enough to handle a Dallas team that just is not very good. It's just pretty bad. Okay, I got a weird college game, the one that I like the best.
Hey, I like weird college
games.
Tulsa.
Tulsa over Central Florida.
Okay.
I think Central Florida, they're kind of thrown in the towel. George O'Leary's gone. And the Tulsa's one of those teams. They have a terrible defense, but they could really put up some points. And right now, I just don't think Central Florida is the kind of team that can exploit a bad defense like Tulsa. Central Florida, I don't see them getting. And if they got 20 points, I'd be shocked. I really would. But the total's 64. So if they get 20, that would mean Tulsa's penciled in for 44. Well, that'll, you know, reasonably cover this number. Tulsa's minus 17. So I like Tulsa in this game. I think that they probably put a pretty good whooping on Central Florida.
Okay, good deal. Well, Chris, we've worn you out. Come to the end of the segment. And, man, I can't tell you again how much I appreciate you joining us each week. I'm not just telling you that. I look forward to talking to you. You know, some things you do because you have to, but this is not one of them. This is something we enjoy every week, and we really appreciate it.
Well, I tell you, Jason, I'm not joking. It's one of my favorite half hours of the week talking to you guys. So, always a lot of fun. I love the passion down there for college football.
Oh, it's unlike anywhere else. It gets crazy at times.
I know.
We've lived through it so far. So, all right, Chris, the invitation's always open if you're down this way. So we're going to remind you every week we serve barbecue here in Alabama. So.
Good barbecue.
I've heard that. And I might, might try to put something together after football season.
Good
so
deal.
We'll
all right, Chris, we'll talk to you next week, and have yourself a great weekend, a profitable weekend.
Yes, sir, you too.
Nice talking to you, Chris.
Talking to you, too.
All right. That's the man, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
Chris is a great guy.
Yeah.
All right, stay with us. We're about 2 minutes away from Rex Chambers. Going to change gears and get out in the lake and catch a few fish. Sports Talk Live 95.5.
I can tell you from being out there recently, there's not much of a lake left. All the water's gone.
Oh, no.
Guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's Independent Radio.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Love you like I love the shit. You're fine. So kind. Got to tell this world that you're mine.
All right. I wonder, is this song introducing our next guest, Rex Chambers? Hey, Rex, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Great balls of fire.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Hey, Rex, that sorry Runny is down at the beach, so sitting in, Bruce Parker, you may know him coaching down at Cold Spring, started, I think, over at Logan, didn't you?
I did. I was over at Logan for 7 years, I sure was. So
Doing a little round ball coaching. Rex,
hey.
Before we get into fishing, let's hear your thoughts on the Auburn-Ole Miss game last week.
I can't say those words on the radio.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a team blow as many opportunities to score a touchdown and end up kicking field goal? I'm telling you,
quarterback's probably that much.
Right.
We have what, 6 drops?
Oh yeah.
3 in the second. He's throwing the ball well. I put that game pretty much on the receivers.
Yeah, there ain't no doubt about it. They couldn't catch a cold. It was bad.
But did you see the news today?
I don't think so. What's happened?
The past 2 championship quarterbacks, junior college, transfer and Auburn.
Oh, and is one of them from Florida State?
Yeah, I take that back. Yes, from Florida.
Okay. Yeah, I did hear that. So that should be a help. Yeah. It can't hurt us.
I saw that. I saw that also. Back up at Florida State, is that right? And then didn't he go to a junior college?
Went to junior college, won two championships. Got right. 2 years eligibility. He is. I forget who was the quarterback last year.
Marshall.
Yeah, Nick Marshall. They said he pretty much the mold of him. So.
You know, we've had pretty good luck with those junior college quarterbacks.
Yes, pretty good luck with both the last couple.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, Rex, what's going on the local lakes? Where's the hot spot?
Well, Gunnersville's the place to be right now. Where I was at today, it's really turned on. It's getting better every day. All this rain's really helping. They're running a lot of water, and fish are starting to migrate. Big bass starting to migrate toward their wintertime haunts, so it's getting fun.
Now tell us, you say the big bass are migrating toward their winter home. Where are the winter homes?
Well, they get in for the first part of fall. They'll get in the creek channels, fall in the shad. The shad's going to go shallow early in the winter, and then they'll move right back out deep before the water gets really, really cold.
Okay.
And right now they're making their way from the grass to the creek channel and making their way back in the creek.
Okay. As much rain as we've had, and I don't guess it maybe didn't rain hard enough to muddy the water, but Rex, what is a good tip if you get in those conditions, you get on a lake and the water is murky, the old dark, muddy looking, what's your best bet there at this time of year with muddy water?
The number one thing is to go bulky. You want a bigger bait, and a bait that puts out more vibration than you'll normally use. So you want to go to a wide crankbait with a really big wobble, or you want to go to a spinnerbait with some really big blades. The water's really muddy. That's where color sometimes does make a difference. Red shows up in the mud more than probably any color there is, red and black. But most everybody goes to a red crankbait or reddish colored spinnerbait when the water's muddy. And that's the two main things. Go big, go red.
Go big and go red.
Yeah.
I heard, and I know you and Ronnie talked about a week or so ago about colors, how much difference they made, and you kind of said you had your basic colors, and most of them were just to put money in pockets. But I had heard one time that fish were thought to be colorblind. Is there any truth to that?
No. They see shades of color. But here's the kicker. Color changes at certain depths.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because if you don't have the amount of light,
right?
You know, if you look at something in the dark, what color is it? It's black.
Right.
I don't care what color it is. If you can't see it, all you see is a shade or a shadow. You know, it's dark. So if I throw something red and it falls 25 feet deep, and I'm not on Smith Lake. Now, Smith Lake's of course, a different hue. But it's pretty much going to turn black because there's not a lot of sun penetration down there, so there's no color. If you don't have any light hitting something, there's no color to it.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't think that way, but that's just science.
Yeah, I've never thought about that, but you're right. Definitely. Hey, I'm going to jump around a little bit here because I've got a couple of things on my mind. I heard a guy the other day, and I don't know how much crappie fishing you do, if you do any, but had loaded the boat up with crappie. So is this the time of year to catch crappie? And if so, how do you do it?
If you start crappie fishing, crappie's really biting well. I don't do a lot of crappie fishing. I'm going to change that this winter, though. The few times that I do get on crappie during the winter is when I'm spooning, when I'm dropping a jigging spoon for bass.
Right.
And I just happen to get a big school of crappie that catch one every cast. And I enjoy filling my live well up then. But as far as just going crappie fishing, live bait stuff, I rarely ever do it. I'm going to make time to do some this winter.
but crappie are biting. Everybody's catching crappie on Katoma, on Smith. I seen a friend sent a picture last night of a huge mess of crappie and spots that caught from Smith yesterday. So it was crappie are stone, and you just got to find a good tree bank, good blow down, or a good bridge column, and catch all you want right now.
Well, boy, you're giving me the fever. I need to buy a boat. I moved over on Lake George and then sold my boat. Got a boat house sitting there with nothing in it but water. So.
I got one on the tape, brother.
Hey, I don't need anything like what you got now. I need one of those Lake Katoma boats or something. So.
I got a Katoma rig I'll put on your right there.
Oh, do you? I might be interested in that. Hey, speaking of Katoma, Rex, do you still fish Katoma any?
I don't actually fish. I haven't fished Katoma in a long time. I'm going to change that this winter a little bit too, but you know, when I'm on Katoma, I'm used to working.
Right, you're over there checking motors.
Right, for another 24 days.
I'll write that down, and if I see you over there, I'll know after 24 days I'm safe. So.
24 days, you probably have somebody there a whole lot worse than I.
Yeah. Couple of more things, Rex. Talking about Katoma, let's go back there. I remember, gosh, it's been probably 8-10 years ago, we fished Katoma like a religion. We'd fish it Monday night, Friday night. A lot of nights I would go home at midnight Friday night, get up before daylight Saturday morning, and go catch the fish schooling. And then it seemed like over the next year or so that it just kind of died out. Is there too much pressure on Katoma and the fish not biting, or what's going on at Katoma?
No, it's absolutely too much pressure on Katoma. The thing about it is they do have 2 or 3 tournaments there a week, but you're only looking at 10, 12 boats for that amount of shoreline.
Right.
So pressure-wise, and even if you go during the week and there's 15 boats in the parking lot, 11 of those are crappie fish.
Oh, okay.
And I've never seen a shortage of crappie on Katoma. It's one of the greatest crappie lakes in the state. So there's not too much pressure on the bass fish. It's just that bass are peculiar. And I'll go this time of year. If I go in November and catch fish in one place, you would think that hey, next November they might be there about the same time of year, same kind of weather. But that's just not the case.
Right.
They roam. They follow the shed and. Everything's depending on that. Shed are predictable.
So you find the shed, you find the big boys.
That's what it's all about.
What's coming up, Rex, as far as tournaments? Anything that you know of coming up that local fishermen might be interested in?
Most all the tournaments are over with as far as your bigger tournaments that anybody can get in. This is the time of year where everybody has their championships. Out of the Smith Lake Dam every Saturday from daylight till 3 is a wildcat tournament. They have 20 to 25 boats. It's a really good payday, but you better bring your A game. There's a lot of sticks there.
Now, what is it be an area that it's taken to win that thing or to place one or two? How much weight
you better
is
it? Have at least 15 to 18.
Oh, my gosh. 15 to 18 pounds Smith Lake would take me a month.
Probably take me long.
That's a kicker. It took go. I think it took 16 last Saturday. It took 18 the Saturday before. There was an NBT tournament. North, I forget what the NBT stands for. It's a team trip. And they fished at a Duncan Bridge Saturday to win it. So.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's taken some really heavy weights to win Smith compared every week that I do 12 years to see what the weights were for that same week. And, this past weekend, it took 18 pounds to win on Smith. In 2009, it took 11.
Wow.
So
that brings me to one more question. The slot, will that ever be removed? If so, when do you think that might be removed, and has it helped the fish population on Smith?
It has helped the fish population. I was one of the biggest opponents against it when it started. I didn't like it one bit. I was wrong.
Is it still 14-16?
No, it's 13-15.
You
can't catch a fish if it goes 13. You can't keep a fish if it hits 13. And you can only keep it if it goes over 50.
And that means if the tail just touches the 13, right?
Can't keep it. And it's got to go over 15.
Okay.
Wow. So the reason they do that is because that's the size that does the majority of the spawning. And so if they get that big and they spawn, then you know that the spawning genes of the fish are going to be pretty good. But will they ever take off? I think so. I think within the next 2 to 3 years, they'll probably take it off. Good chance of it.
Yeah, it's been there a while now.
Been there a while, and the fishing's really changed. You see, you go catch 100 fish in a day, but they'd all be 6 to 10 inches. Well, that's not the case anymore. You can go catch 15 to 20 fish a day, and half of those are going to be really good ones.
Good deal. Good deal. And, Rich, you say you've got 24 more days, something like that, so I know.
The 30th is my last day.
The 30th?
The 30th.
Boy, you're making me even more jealous than Ronnie's making me being at the beach.
then I'll be guiding full time.
All right. Now, if somebody wants to get a trip, what route do they need to go to get a hold of Rex to get a trip set up?
Easiest way is to shoot me an email at rex@smithlakebass.com or find me on Facebook right now, Rex Chambers Fishing.
Right, mighty fine. And folks, Rex can do it because he has taken money of mine over at Katoma several years ago, so I know he can put you on the fish. Rex, I appreciate you calling in, and man, I hope the fishing is a lot better than our football.
Yeah, y'all have a great week.
Thanks, Rex.
Thanks, Rex.
All right, Rex Chambers talking a little fishing. We jumped all over the map with him, but there's nothing about fishing that he can't answer.
Right, so. He's good at it. I see his an article in the Coleman Times.
Yeah.
I think maybe on Tuesdays, maybe when it comes out, and you know.
Well, did you see his boat in accident?
No, I didn't see that.
I think he hit something going down the lake, and the motor basically landed in his lap.
Oh my goodness!
Boy, it tore his leg.
Oh
up,
me! Oh me!
All right, the music's playing means it's time for a break, and we'll come back with our high school picks, our SEC picks, and wrap it up for another Thursday.
May want to pull over.
That's right. Get those pencils and papers out, because we're going to give you some winners. Sports Talk Live 95.5. Be right back.
Some bottom so that the dancers just won't hide.
From the ARN News Center, I'm Derek Scudder. The family of Julian Hernandez says they are overjoyed to know he is safe. The boy's father took him from Vestavia Hills in 2002 and has been missing for the past 13 years. The now 18-year-old discovered his true identity during the college application process in Ohio. The father is being extradited back to Alabama to face charges. Governor Robert Bentley has removed one of the duties of Attorney General Luther Strange, Angie Norvell reports.
In his order, Bentley says the responsibility for enforcement of Alabama's criminal laws most properly lies with the elected sheriffs and district attorneys of each county. On Bentley's first day in office in 2011, he issued his first executive order, which was to make Luther Strange the state's enforcer of gambling laws.
Another mistrial in the case of Madison police officer Eric Parker. He's accused of using excessive force against a 58-year-old Indian man during an encounter in February. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Great news for drivers in Tuscaloosa with the reopening of the Alberta City Bridge.
It's taken nearly a year for ALDOT to complete work on that bridge. City Councilor Kip Tyner says the bridge opens to vehicle traffic today.
A lot of people have been anticipating this day.
The bridge is on a main artery to the UA campus for game day traffic for Tide football games. The son of Alabama's Chief Justice has been indicted on drug charges. 25-year-old Caleb Moore is charged with felony possession of a prescription medication and misdemeanor marijuana possession. Caleb Moore was arrested in March in Troy after police responding to a possible break-in reported smelling marijuana and finding Xanax. A new phone scam being reported in Cherokee County. The sheriff there is warning residents about calls identified as coming from a government or law enforcement agency, telling them there's a warrant for their arrest or being told they didn't appear for jury duty and will have to pay a fine. I'm Derek Scudder, ARN News. In money news, U.S. stocks mixed today following mixed quarterly results from companies including Facebook and Whole Foods. Facebook reported an 11% gain in quarterly profits, helped by higher advertising revenue. Whole Foods reported its latest quarterly profit fell by more than half as it faces more intense competition now that organic foods are more widely available. Net income at Fiat Chrysler's U.S. operations fell 89% in the third quarter as the company set aside millions to pay for future safety recalls. The company says its net profit was $70 million compared with $611 million a year ago. Without $1 billion in one-time pre-tax charges, the company would have had a modified operating profit of nearly $1.3 billion. Wells Fargo Bank has agreed to pay $81.6 million to settle claims that it had failed to notify homeowners in bankruptcy of changes in their mortgage payments. I'm Derek Scudder. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
Now, I know y'all are going to complain. You're going to say I ran out of music, right?
Nah, I wasn't going to say a word. You know me better than that, Jay. I don't care about music. Hey, real quick before we give our picks, going to remind everyone a little football tonight, even a SEC team. You can catch Mississippi State playing Missouri. SEC action tonight. Mississippi State, I think, about a 7.5, 8-point favorite, so do what you will with that. College basketball right around the corner, Bruce.
Oh, yeah.
High school basketball, I guess they're practicing.
Yeah, they've been practicing for, I guess, a couple of weeks or so now, I guess. So, yeah, they're getting ready.
And, boy, down your way, it looks strong this year, Cold Springs basketball.
Yeah, I think the, you know, Cold Springs boys and girls teams are going to be pretty strong this year. They're anxious to get started, but, you know, it's the football in the playoffs tonight, and, you know, if they win, then they, you know, they'll have to postpone basketball for a little bit longer, but, you know, that's
basketball players won't be happy about that. That means more practice.
That's right. I know they're ready to play.
College basketball, real quick, polls are out. The first poll, preseason polls, the AP and the USA Today coaches poll. The AP has North Carolina Tar Heels at number one. Followed by Kentucky, and it seems like the same teams, five or six every year,
it's
the top of the polls. Maryland, somewhat of a surprise at three, Kansas four, Duke five. Wichita State cracked the top 10 at number 10. In the coaches' poll, Kentucky at number one, North Carolina at two, so that's just reversed from the AP. Maryland at three, Duke four, and Kansas five. A lot of basketball to be played before we'll crown a champion, I guess. What is it, April?
Yeah, right around the 1st of April, I guess, so when the Final Four is. So a lot of basketball to be played.
All right, it's time for the segment that I know everybody has been waiting on each week as they do. People pulling over on the interstate right now.
That's right.
And there's diapers that need to be changed, women that won't change them because they're waiting on these picks.
That's
so
right.
We need to get them out.
Yeah.
Bruce, you've got the high school games. If you'll call those out, we'll pick the winners, and then I'll call out the SEC games.
Okay. First, we got Cold Springs at Selegant tonight, which, again, Cold Springs 6-4 and Selegant 7-3. So I think it's going to be a tough ball game. I think it's going to be a close ball game, but I'm picking Cold Springs in that one.
All right. I'm going to go with Selegant just so basketball players will be happy.
Right.
All right, who we got next?
Okay, the next one, Coleman at Clay Chalkville. And Coleman going in at 6-4, which, of course, Clay Chalkville, the defending State champion at 10-0. So Coleman's got their hands full tonight. So I'm going with Clay Chalk.
All right, and I'm going to agree with you, and I'm going to go a step further and probably make some people mad, but this one may be ugly.
Yeah, it could be.
Clay Chalk for strong.
They are strong. They got some D1 players I read about, and I know some. I think one's already committed to Alabama, and their quarterback, I think he's being recruited by some top-notch schools, so it'd be a tough one.
Good luck to Coleman. I hope you pull out the win. That would be the upset of the year,
I guess.
It
would. Yeah, I'm pulling for him.
All right, who we got next?
Okay, we got Addison at Red Bay. And Addison, which is going in at 5-5, Red Bay 10-0. I tell you, Addison usually, you know, year in, year out, Addison's tough. You know, they're all a football community over there.
5-5 just don't look right for Addison.
It don't, but I know, you know, Addison will be ready to play, but Red Bay, I think, will be a little bit stronger tonight, so I'm picking Red Bay.
I'm going to agree with you again, Red Bay.
Okay, and then the last local we got tonight, West Point at Alexandria. And, you know, we talked about it earlier, West Point, you know, getting into the playoffs at the number 4 seed in the region, and they're going to Alexandria, which is, I got them as 8-1, I think, and they're a tough team over there. Alexandria through the years has played some good football, just looking at it. So I much as I like to pick West Point to win, I guess I'm going to go with Alexandria tonight.
Now, I'm going to agree with you again. So you're going to go with one local winner, and I'm going with no local winners. So.
Yeah, so I've Cold Springs, I think, you know, probably got, we talked about it earlier, I think they've got probably the best shot tonight to win. I know Coach Elliott and all the coaches down there, you know, talk to them a little bit, and the players, you know, they put last week's game behind them, you know. And
Bruce,
again,
you're not picking Cold Springs because you have to go back and face
well, that could be a little reason, but no, but I feel confident. I think the players will be ready to play, and, you know, I think maybe last week, you know, maybe, you know, and again, you know, starting out 0-0, you know, both teams, and it's starting a new season tonight, and that's what they've been playing for all year. You know, you go through, you know, early August when they start playing or start practicing in the heat, and this is what they're playing for, you know, to get in the playoffs.
All the marbles.
That's right.
All right, moving to SEC, we'll run through these real quick. Mississippi State and Missouri, who you got?
I'm going to pick Mississippi State.
I'm going to agree with you. Mississippi State, I think, wins this one by 10 or 12, somewhere in that range. I think they'll cover the point spread.
Right.
Kentucky at Georgia. Kentucky, a 14-point dog.
I'm going to pick Georgia, which I think Kentucky, I think it'll be a closer game, I believe, but I'm picking Georgia.
I'm going to agree with you again, and I'm going to say the same thing. I don't think Georgia will cover the point spread. Vandy at Florida. Florida, a 21-point favorite.
I'm going to go with the Gators. I'm going to pick Florida.
Yeah, this one could be ugly. The end of Derek Mason headed your way to a theater near you. South Carolina at Tennessee.
I'm going to pick Tennessee. I think, you know, Tennessee is coming along. You know, they lost some games early, you know, that they probably should have won, but I think they're playing some good football. I'm picking Tennessee.
I'm going Rocky Top also. LSU at Alabama.
Oh, this is a big game, big game. Playing at Tuscaloosa, which Alabama hadn't played well at home. And
Let's save that one to the end,
Bruce. Okay,
all right. I don't know why I called that one out. Arkansas at Ole Miss.
Arkansas, Ole Miss. I'm going to go with Ole Miss.
Ole Miss. And, boy, I hate to agree every time, but I'm going to do it again and go with Ole Miss because I hate Arkansas.
Well, I've come to agree with you, Jason. I mean, after, you know, Arkansas and their coach and stuff.
I'm telling you know, he's easy to not like.
Yeah, that's true.
Auburn at Texas A&M College Station.
I'm going to pick Auburn. I think Auburn, you know, I think hopefully we'll turn it around, get the offense going maybe this week and get some touchdowns, hopefully. So I'm going with Auburn.
All right, and I've got to disagree at some point, so this is going to be it. I'm going to go with the Aggies, Texas A&M. Not a lot of confidence in Auburn right now for me. LSU at Alabama, the game of the week, if not the game of the year.
Yeah, big game, I tell you, for both teams. Again, Alabama's not playing, hadn't played very well at home. You know, Ole Miss come in and beat them, but I tell you, they're both of them, you know, being off, having an off week, I think both teams are going to come in pretty strong. Going to be just a heavyweight bout, but I'm going to pick Alabama.
Bruce is going with Alabama. Boy, I've got to think about this one. I'm going with Alabama too.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one to call right there. That's a big game.
I just don't think LSU will be able to run the ball down Alabama's throat.
No.
And when it comes down to quarterbacking, LSU hadn't seen a defense like they're going to see Saturday.
Right, right. Yeah, Alabama's defense just top notch, year in and year out. So I believe they're going to stop. I think they'll, like they said, slow down Fournette. You know, I think he's going to get some yards, but Alabama's defense is pretty tough.
Well, all right, Bruce, we're coming to the end, and man, I want to thank you for filling in for Ronnie. You've done a great job, and as always, when you've been called on, you've been easy to step forward and take a place and help us out, and can't tell you how much we appreciate it. We're going to be hollering at you again during basketball season,
right.
So I think we'll end up at Wallace. May have to holler at you down there, fill in while Ronnie's off doing his thing.
All right, Jase, I appreciate the opportunity to come and be with you, and maybe Ronnie, he'll come back all tanned, I guess, probably next week.
He's
tan or sunburnt one, I guess.
He's probably laying out in one of them teeny weeny bikinis.
But thanks, Jason, for having me.
All right, thank you, Bruce. All right, folks. Have yourself a great weekend. Hope your team wins, and we'll talk Tuesday about the Alabama-LSU game, what did or didn't happen. Until then, have a safe one. God bless you. Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman.
Providing Coleman with a unique blend of music from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. WRJMLP, Coleman.
Tell me now, baby, is he good to you? Does he do to you the things that I do? I know I can take you higher. Oh, I'm on fire. Like someone took a knife, baby, edgy and dull, and cut a 6-inch valley through the middle of my soul. At night I wake up with the sheets soaking wet and a freight train running through the middle of my head. Only you cool my desire.
Something's in the air tonight. The sky's alive with the burning light. Come mark my words, something's about to break. And I found myself in a bit of fight. And I felt your hand through the darkest night. Don't know where you're coming from, but you're coming soon. To a cure for mourning.